Welcome back to Successful Aging. I'm your host, John Winslow, with my co-host, Millie Oakeson. We're delighted to welcome Stacy Lynch from Oakeson Physical Therapy for our second half today. Stacy is a physical therapist assistant in the aquatic therapy program at Oakeson Physical Therapy. He is an associate of arts and associate of applied science in the physical therapist assistant program. He became a certified personal trainer in 2000 and received his aquatic facility operator certification in 2016. He also has a Lee Silverman Voice Treatment Big Certification for the treatment of Parkinson's disease and is a certified lymphedema therapist specializing in oncology rehab. Stacy was integral to be the first published case review in aquatic therapy in Alzheimer's disease and just had a recent case review in aquatic therapy and end-stage dementia published through the Physical Medicine Rehabilitation Journal. He also brought along one of his patients, Ron Harold, and we're excited to hear about this specific training, how it's helped him. Welcome, Stacy. I know we just scratched the surface of all your certifications, but today we're going to focus on aquatic therapy.
Yes, thank you.
Well, welcome, Stacy. We're excited to learn more about aquatic therapy. Let's start with you explaining what exactly aquatic therapy is and when it is used.
Well, in one sense, aquatic therapy is nothing new. It has its roots back to Hippocrates over 2,000 years ago. Hippocrates is referred to as the founder of Western medicine. I'd like to give a few minutes to describe the history of aquatic therapy, actually. Its use can be found in documentation throughout history with the healing water rituals and soaking baths that were a part of the Greek, Roman, Hebrew, Persian, Islamic, and Christian cultures. And if you think back to watching most any movie or television show involving the early Roman and Japanese empires, you'll generally see an emphasis on the soaking baths as part of their community. Traditionally, these societies viewed aquatic environments as more of a part of their health and well-being. Today, aquatic therapy in general is highly utilized as a major part of therapy in the countries in the European Union. However, in most of the world, especially in America, a pool is mostly seen as a form of recreation. But historically, there had been times in American history where the aquatic therapy was prevalent. In the 1800s, there was actually numerous aquatic establishments and medical colleges that were built with the focus of what was called the water cure, which is basically cold water bathing. In the early 1900s, there were doctors that used therapeutic tubs, which were basically wooden tanks that treated patients with cerebral palsy and spastic conditions. It's interesting to note that in World War II, aquatic therapy was so effective that the U.S. government had actually commandeered many pools and spas, and they were turned into military hospitals for PT and aquatic programs. Then there was the American polio epidemic in the 1950s, and there were many establishments and government programs that were set aside for corrective swimming pools and therapeutic tubs. However, once the Salk vaccine was introduced and technology started to thrive, then the interest in aquatics seemed to disappear. There was a revival in aquatic interests with the research from the space race in the 60s and the 70s. And more recently, we've been gathering a lot of good research and data on the body's response and benefits to immersion alone, as well as with exercise in the water. And I think our current medical model is so focused on technology and new things that we easily overlook combining the little things that we know to be beneficial. And I oftentimes find that aquatic therapy is viewed as an afterthought. And Ron is here with us, and he can possibly tell you a little bit more about how that's looked in the medical field with his case.
Thank you, Stacy. Yeah, I know you brought Ron Harold, one of your patients, along with you today. It's always instructive, I think, sometimes when we talk about these kind of things to do case study. I think Ron's going to kind of tell us a little bit about his experience with aquatic therapy. Let me tell you a little bit about Ron. Let me introduce Ron. I've known Ron for almost 20 years. He's worked with me in a number of communities and businesses that we've operated over the years. But what makes this unique this time is he had back surgery here not too long ago, and he had several screws put in his back. I used to say his screws loose, but these are new screws, not old, you know, not new screws. Okay, loose
here
screws.
Here we go.
But I think this has really helped him, and I know he swears by it. So I'd like maybe perhaps you just talk for a moment about what aquatic therapy has meant for Ron in this case from your perspective, and then Ron, when Stacy's done, maybe you can just take a couple minutes and say how you think this has worked for you and kind of tie that together. So,
sure.
Stacy, let's start with you.
Or actually,
you want to start with Ron?
Yeah.
All right. Tell you what, let's start. How about we start with Ron?
Start with me.
Ron,
okay.
Let's start
all
with
right.
you.
So, Ron, start from the beginning.
All right. Well, in June, I had major back surgery, and After that, 2 weeks, I believe it was, I started therapy. And regular therapy, physical therapy, was too hard. It really wasn't working. So Bob Okeson at Okeson Therapy, he put me in the aquatic therapy, and I spent about 12 sessions going through different exercises and routines, stretching and so forth. And the back pain when I started the program, from a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 10. It was pretty bad. And after about, I think, the third or fourth session, I really seen some improvement to where the pain started to go away, and it was down to a 5 or a 6. And then the last probably three sessions that I went to, I had no pain whatsoever. The pain had gone. And I attribute it all to the aquatic therapy being more adapt to what I needed to heal the bottom part of my back.
So how many sessions did you take, Ron, and are you done with them now as far as regular sessions?
Yeah, I had 12 sessions, and I finished up a week ago, I finished up.
And two, Ron, when you started, you know, because you usually just get a script from your physician requesting physical therapy,
right?
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you went in for physical therapy, that was a little bit too much. And
yeah.
So this was a really nice alternative to something that you weren't really able to do in the beginning, correct?
Yes, it was. It was a great alternative, and I'm glad that we went into it because it really worked great.
And Ron can't talk enough about Stacy.
Well, that's
all,
it. But,
that's
but,
all we've heard about.
But I want to ask one question here, though. How did you wind up moving from the regular physical therapy to the water? Was that accidental? Was that part of the plan? You said the first part didn't work because it was too painful. Was that just as a result of Bob or somebody came and said, hey, this doesn't work, let's try this?
Yes.
Or how did that materialize?
I started the one session, and I spent about 10 minutes on one of the machines, and that was it. I just couldn't take it anymore. It was too much stress and strain on my back from the operation. And that's when I went, and Bob said, well, why don't you try the aquatic therapy in the pool? And I was all for it, you know. I was at that point in time, I was ready to try anything to improve.
So, Stacy, this is for you. When do you find it's best to use aquatic therapy over regular physical therapy? I mean, is this a really good case for why someone would go into aquatic therapy?
Yes, it is. And it's always that choice that's difficult to always answer. And I'll just say that I've been working in physical therapy for over 20 years, and I've been specializing in aquatic therapy for over 10 years. And I've had several international certifications in aquatic therapy, as well as my research with Alzheimer's disease. So I guess you could say that I have a bias. However, it's not necessarily that land or water has to be a choice. Many times one is more appropriate in Ron's case. But I believe there's also a nice mix of land and water for most of our patient populations. And as with Ron, I would say that most therapy patients are either unaware of aquatic therapy options that are available or even reasons as to why aquatic therapy would be giving specific benefits. The sad truth to that is that there are very few medical professionals that are even aware of the benefits of aquatic exercise or even immersion alone. I mean, even the doctorate level physical therapy programs barely touch on aquatics. If they're lucky, maybe they get a full day on its education.
Let me have you stop right there just for a second. We have to go to a break. So you're listening to Successful Aging on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. When we return, we're going to have Stacy continue our conversation regarding OCUS and physical therapy on aquatic therapy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. We're talking with Stacy Lynch from OCUS and Physical Therapy about aquatic therapy. And prior to our break, We were asking the question to Stacy about when do you find it the best use of aquatic therapy over typical physical therapy. So, Stacy, go ahead and finish telling us what you were sharing.
Yeah, what I find is a lot of times there's oftentimes a misunderstanding of the benefits of aquatic therapy. I mean, Ron had mentioned about the benefits that he had, that land was too difficult, land was too painful, and the aquatics with the buoyancy and these other benefits, oftentimes aquatic therapy is easier. And this sounds great on the surface, but many times this actually, if when this is the focus of marketing, that aquatic therapy is easier, there's less pain, you're lighter, a lot of times that drives away a lot of patients, potential patients, a lot of our elite athletes, a lot of our even geriatric patients that feel they've been told by their doctors they need more aggressive exercise, and that tends to turn them away, when actually the opposite is true as well. I mean, with the variables of bone density, buoyancy, hydrostatic pressure, viscosity, and even the water temperature, as an aquatic therapist, I have the freedom to pretty much manipulate the environment to pretty much address any patient population. And it's not a matter of aquatic therapy over land therapy. I'd like to point out just a couple of benefits of just what we found with the research recently of just getting in the pool to neck level alone. The hydrostatic pressure of the water pushes blood upward and inward into your body, and this causes a big shift into your thoracic area. You have to understand this alone increases your cardiac stroke volume by over 30%. What this means is doing absolutely nothing in the pool, you're getting a cardiovascular exercise of 35% without even moving. And this may not sound like much to a healthy individual, but when you take a patient that's had a lot of limitations over the past several years, not able to move around for breathing issues and things like that, that 35% is doing nothing. So yeah. You just get in the pool for an hour, you're getting a 35%.
Sure.
That's a nice start.
My
right
goodness.
There.
Yeah.
We also have other benefits from the respiratory system. The heart rate slows down, and yet it beats harder with more force, with less stress at the same time. You're strengthening your pulmonary system. And one of the things with Ron's case, too, he'd mentioned a lot of the muscle soreness and things like that. When you're immersed in the water, your muscular tension tends to decrease. But here's a big statistic. Muscular blood flow increases by over 200% at rest in the water. So if you're dealing with muscle soreness or difficulty with healing specific tissues, immersion alone is a great way to start.
There's some great positive aspects, but everything has a downside, Stacy. So what are some of the potential side effects of aquatic therapy?
Yeah, you know, I am a therapist, so I always recommend that anyone seek medical counsel before they attempt anything new. There's always a long disclaimer for any exercise or even any idea that might benefit anyone. And so that's really what physical therapy and the evaluation process is for. You sit down with the therapist. This therapist, the evaluating therapist, will actually sit down with you and figure out the plan of attack, whether it's going to be all aquatics, partial aquatics, starting with aquatics, moving on to land. It really depends on the patient's individual needs. I guess one of the things with the side effects outside of that goes back to some of my Alzheimer's research I was mentioning with you before the break. These patients, because of this blood flow, we have increased blood flow to the brain also by 7 to 10% without doing anything. So a lot of our non-responsive patients or minimally responsive patients actually become responsive. And this tends to last a couple of hours after. So if you have a patient that didn't need much care prior to the aquatic session, we had found that for 2 hours after, these non-mobile patients might actually try to get up and walk unsupported.
Oh, my goodness.
Which in one sense is a bad thing, but in another sense is a huge blessing.
At least they're trying, right?
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
And that's where you want this full spectrum of care.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're just joining us, this is Successful Aging on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, and we're talking with Stacy Lynch with Okus and Physical Therapy. If you have any questions about today's show, you can find us on successfulaging.info, or please feel free to call us at 623-847-3047. So, Ron, I want to ask you, what has your experience with the aquatic therapy, and had you tried other therapies previously? I know we just shared that you did try some physical therapy. What do you see are the best benefits of aquatic therapy?
Well, like Stacy mentioned here, the blood flow to the brain, just getting in the water, your muscles feel a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got tightness, it loosens you up, gives you the ability to move more freely while you're doing the exercises, and it just gives you a better feeling about your body.
Don't you think that it kind of increases your stamina as well?
Oh, absolutely.
With regards to doing this type of exercise as opposed to possibly, in your case, the physical therapy at that time?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stacey, I know you mentioned between breaks that you'll be hosting and speaking at the 5th International Conference on Evidence-Based Aquatic Therapy in Las Vegas next year. Tell us about this, what it involves, and kind of a brief summary of what people might expect to hear there.
Yeah, the title's a mouthful, so we call it the ISPAT. that's the website for that, ISPAT.us. Basically, this is something I've been hoping for years. I'm hosting this conference. We're having 11 international keynote speakers talking about their newest research in aquatic therapy. We're already endorsed by 11 international aquatic therapy agencies, and we're expecting over 300 registrants from around the world. We have keynote speakers from Germany, Japan, Finland, the Netherlands, Switzerland, Australia, and, of course, the United States. And the research topics range from the newest research with aquatic benefits with cellular metabolization, neuroplasticity, fascial tissues and stretching, advances in treating neuromuscular conditions, even cartilage repair and healing. And over the past few years of research, there's been powerful new things that have come up with aquatic therapy. So we're very excited for this international conference.
We've had a few guests on our shows over the past number of months, Stacey, that we've been discussing Alzheimer's, dementia issues. Tell us about the work that you do with aquatic therapy and how it helps or, you know, positively impact Alzheimer's patients.
Yeah, you know, studies have been known for decades to know that exercise is one of the best things to either prevent Alzheimer's or to slow its progress. And so when I started the research, I had a passion to start taking the patients that basically nobody else could work with, the non-responsive, the catatonic patients. So our first case review that was published was in 2013. There's actually a video online that you can watch this person actually come alive. It was really amazing. We just did a recent research article case review that was published with Dr. Bruce Becker. And this was a lady that was 54 years old. She had been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's disease, but at the time we had got to her, 4 years later, she was again in stage. She was nonverbal, required total assistance for everything. Within just about one visit a week for about 16 weeks, she started to be able to function in the water independently. She could tread water by herself for up to 10 minutes at a time.
Amazing.
She could ambulate up to 1,000 feet with as little bit of contact guard of assistance. And even start speaking certain phrases and things like that. Her first session, she said, "Hi, Mom." She hadn't said anything for 6 months prior.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So it's some pretty powerful responses. And you look at the brain blood flow as well as the cardiac exercise, we can see why.
So tell us, you know, that's really intriguing and I think exciting for some of our listeners out there that they, as they hear this, listen to it. Because it's such a big thing in our environment that Millie and I work in. Tell us how an hour would look like. Maybe 30-second snapshot, how an hour, you know, therapy session would look like.
You mean like with my Alzheimer's patients,
for
example?
I mean, yeah. You throw them in the water, you take them a net. I mean,
It is always a case-by-case basis. And I think by watching, again, the video that's online with Bill, you'll see a certain response, a patient that had a lot of ataxia, a lot of needed. Basically, I had to support this patient for a while just to get him to touch his.
So like a one-on-one type?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Always needs to be one-on-one to start. And then at the end, I think by the end of his treatment the last month, we had his daughters fly in, and they would just walk around with him in the pool and talk with him. And that's something they couldn't even do with him sitting on land. So it is a case-by-case situation. But when you look at the thing of, you know, number one is exercise. And so these patients that, even in the rec groups, you know, they can't even participate with the beach ball throw. So in the water, you get them in the water, you make sure they're stable and safe. They start getting an exercise. They start becoming responsive. And then the more responsive they become, the more you can do with them. And it just builds from there.
So how does this fit in the aquatic environment and the patients that you mentioned as being minimally responsive? And we've just got a few minutes. Mm-hmm.
If they're minimally responsive, even if they have behavioral episodes, this was the last case review. The water reduces endorphins, serotonin, things like that to make them feel better. And we just take it from there and they start to smile and respond.
Well, that's fabulous. You know, this is a fascinating topic. So, unfortunately, we're coming to the end. We've been talking today with Stacey Lynch on aquatic therapy and one of his patients, Ron Harold. Thank you both for participating and joining us today. I'd like to thank our board operator, Chet Reynolds, our producer, Kay Baker, and asserting my co-host, Mill Yokeson. This is Successful Aging. I'm John Wenslow on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX. If you have any question on today's show or would like to hear it again, you can find us on successfulaging.info. Join us next week at this same time. Have a great day, everyone.